Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
And good evening and welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And I'm not Kevin Tachi, I'm Christine James. And what's happening here tonight is another WATD political forum. Tonight, it is the 4th Plymouth District. And that is in the primary race, and these are the candidates. And thank you, Kevin Tachi. He's adjusting all the things here. We've also got Marshfield Community Television in here. First up, we were going to have a doubleheader tonight. First, the Democrats running for this office, and then the Republicans, but we've had to reschedule the Republicans. So tonight, it's the Democrats. We've got Sean Costello and Patrick Kearney. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Okay, I like that. Good, kind of in unison. Asking,
acapella.
Very nice. And joining us, of course, Monday Night Talk Show host Kevin Tachi asking questions. Hi. And WATD's Charles Mathewson here as well. Sandy Rolick is going to be timing. She's got the papers over there, the red, the green, the yellow. Just a quick run through again for those of you watching on cable here. Red means stop. Green means go, and yellow means you've got 10 seconds, and we're tough about that because if you talk too long... What happened to the bell? Wait a minute. There we go. You get the bell. All right. Now, this is an open seat because former state rep Jim Cantwell stepped down to work for Senator Ed Markey. Mm-hmm. There are also, I should mention, two independents running for this seat as well, Joe Armstrong and Nathaniel Powell. They will join us during the general election forum. Now, our format is simple. It's what we use every time for WATD. We've got opening and closing statements, 2-minute open, 1-minute close. In between, we ask a round of questions, including the famous or infamous lightning round, where the reporters will ask either for a 2-sentence answer or yes or no. Yes or no means yes or no. It does not mean yes or no with a long explanation. We all should be laughing because that's impossible. We choose opening and closing order earlier from the WATD official newsroom koozie. We're going to begin with Sean Costello, then go to Patrick Kearney, and we will reverse that order at the end. So, gentlemen, I wish you good luck. I'm glad you came here. The world couldn't go round unless we had elected officials here. We're glad some of you could join us here tonight. And, of course, again, thanks to our media partners, Marshfield Community Television. So let's start with opening statements. You've got 2 minutes. Sean Costello, good evening.
Well, good evening, Christine. Thank you so much for having us. It's always a pleasure to be with you here at WATD. Kevin, Charlie, Sandy, thanks so much. And thanks to my friend Pat. We've had a very positive, fun campaign so far, and tonight will be another chapter of that. I look forward to that. My name is Sean Costello. I'm a lifelong resident of Marshfield, and I'm proud to be running for state representative. I'm running for state rep because I believe that now, more than ever, Marshfield and Scituate deserve a leader with experience, with passion for the district, and with knowledge of how things work in the legislature. And I'm confident that I'm the candidate in the race who best fits that description. I've always been interested in public service, thanks in large part to my upbringing here in Marshfield. Growing up, my parents, Sherry and Phil, worked their hardest to provide for me and my sister, pulling long hours and working multiple jobs to make ends meet. Their example inspired me to get involved. I began my civic involvement over a decade ago when I volunteered for my friend Jim Cantwell's campaign. I later helped run his campaigns. I worked with him on a number of issues, including as a member of the leadership team for a new Marshfield High School. And I watched up close as he fought to bring commerce and important state funds to our towns. His influence on this district and on my life is a big reason why I want to continue this line of strong representation on Beacon Hill. For the last 4 years, I've worked at the State House as legislative director for a state rep from Quincy. I know how the job works. I know how to get things done. I know exactly how to address constituent services. And I know how to bring in much-needed state funds and serve as a partner for our local governments. I'm also in my second term on the Marshfield School Committee and have served as chairman since 2016. I was driven to run for school committee because I was proud of my public school education and wanted to give back. I'm proud of all we've accomplished, most recently the passage of universal tuition-free full-day kindergarten, which we implemented under my leadership without cutting programs, without cutting positions, and without raising taxes. That's the kind of practical, forward-thinking leadership we need on Beacon Hill, and that's why I want to utilize my experience and my vision to fight on behalf of every resident here in Marshfield and Scituate. I've knocked thousands of doors and spoken with countless residents about the issues we face. I look forward to discussing these issues tonight and a robust conversation.
Thank you very much. That's opening statement for Sean Costello. Patrick Kearney, your opening statement for our listeners.
Good evening, and thank you again for having me, and thank you to those who are tuning in tonight. My name is Patrick Kearney, and I am a Democratic candidate for the open state representative seat here in Marshfield and Scituate. I'm a lifelong resident of the South Shore. And my family history goes back to 1928 when my great-grandfather built our original family home here in this district. And I not only understand this community, but the fabric of this community is a part of who I am. I'm a graduate of the Massachusetts Maritime Academy. I'm an officer in the Naval Reserve as a member of the Strategic Sea Lift Readiness Group. I work in Marshfield and Scituate as a captain in one of our district's most important industries, the charter and commercial fishing industry. I'm running for state representative for the same reason I took a commission as an officer in the military. It's because I believe in public service. And I also believe that if you're going to represent the people, then you need to know the people. Which is why, since March of this year, I've knocked on over 4,700 doors and counting, and I'll continue to do the same all the way up through the primary election. I'm doing this because it's one thing to say that you know the issues that matter to the district, something that we'll be discussing this evening, but it is another to hear it directly from the people who you wish to represent, and their opinions and thoughts matter greatly to me. I look forward to tonight's discussions, and I really appreciate you having us both in.
Thank you very much. Again, that was the opening statement from Patrick Kearney. Let's go to Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi now. Questions for your candidates and who it's directed at first, please.
All right, we'll start with Patrick, but it'll be a shared question between the two of you. As you both know, that the gentleman that is left office, State Representative Jim Cantwell, no more, of course, but he served in he served well this district. And you're looking to somewhat at least fill his shoes is kind of it's an understatement, but you're hoping to at least stay with the issues that he was really prominent on. And one of the ones that I'm going to bring up is in regards to the seawalls, coastal issues, which will always be a concern for the two communities you're going to serve, Scituate and Marshfield. What needs to be done as far as on the state level, or the federal level, because it goes beyond just the state of Massachusetts, to take a proactive approach when it comes to protecting the coastline and its properties. Patrick, again, you start.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. That's a super important issue to this district. And as someone that lives in a flood zone in Scituate, I understand firsthand the importance of protecting our coastal homes. And Marshfield and Scituate are both coastal communities, and it's not just the people on the coast that protects. We have over 1,500 homes in Scituate that are in the floodplain, over 2,000 homes in Marshfield that are in the floodplain, and it's so important that we have accurate flood insurance maps. Most recently, the mapping that was done was based on a West Coast data, California, and did not take into account the tidal issues that we have here in Massachusetts. So it's important as a state rep to work with our federal representatives to make sure that the flood insurance maps are accurate, but also that we have the coastal infrastructure, seawalls, and other innovative ideas to protect the coastal homes and the homes that are in the floodplain as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, absolutely. So Jim Cantwell has been a statewide leader on this issue. He's also been a leader nationally as he's gone down to Washington, D.C. a few times to fight this, and somebody has to continue that work. Jim has been pounding that drum for a long time and has been making the voices of our residents heard. For the last 4 years, I've worked at the State House, and one of the things that I've been involved with is the Coastal Caucus. My boss is a founding member of that caucus, and we have worked quite extensively on these issues. And the district is Quincy, so I've worked a lot with flooding in Quincy. And, you know, coastal resiliency definitely has a whole host of different facets. And when you talk about resiliency itself with the seawalls and the infrastructure, we do know that we have this crumbling coastal infrastructure, and it's because we have more frequent and more severe storms. Jim's one of his crowning achievements in the legislature was the Dam and Seawall Fund, which has over $1 million annually available for towns. We need to have somebody in the legislature who knows how to fight for those important funds, and I know how that process works.
Quick follow-up. How willing would you be as a representative to work with an organization like the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition, formerly, of course, the Marshfield Citizens Coastal Coalition?
Sure. Well, Joe Rossi is a friend of mine. We've known each other for a long time, and we've had a couple good meetings throughout the course of this race, and, of course, we've worked on a number of issues beforehand as well. Joe does great work with the Coastal Coalition. I think that's a strong community partnership that the state representative needs to have. Jim Cantwell definitely had that. Joe's a leading expert on this issue. Kevin, you and I have talked about this before, and we definitely need to rely on people like Joe who are experts in this field and who are working on it every day. State rep should never pretend to know everything about everything. They should always know something about everything, but we need to be able to rely on people like that to bring their experiences and their expertise to Beacon Hill.
Same question, Patrick.
Yeah, I've gone to multiple Coastal Coalition meetings. I've spoken with and listened to Joe and Rossi, and he's very, very knowledgeable on all of these coastal issues. It's the Coastal Coalition, it's the beach associations, mm-hmm. it's speaking with individual coastal residents to hear what their unique concerns are, because although we have miles of coastline here in both towns, each different community, whether that's the Cedar Point, Peggotty Beach, Brant Rock, they all have different concerns. Although they're similar in nature, they're in different areas. So, you know, I think it's important to work with all the beach associations, with the Coastal Coalition, and fight as a state representative to make sure that the district receives adequate funds to replace and continue to keep our infrastructure strong.
I'm just going to jump ahead here, Charlie. I hope you don't mind, but we're talking already. We mentioned Jim Cantwell a couple of times. I'm just going to cut to the chase. You guys are both younger. Are either one of you even 30 years old?
No.
Okay.
No.
No. Okay. Hi, you guys, if you get elected, how are you going to bring home the bacon to this district? Mm-hmm. This is a guy who, a lawyer involved for years in town politics. Mm-hmm. Very experienced, very savvy, very smart. You guys are both young. I'm not holding that against you, but realistically, how are you going to bring home the bacon for this district? Let's start with you, Patrick.
Well, as it's really important to know that age is really not a factor, in my opinion. We've had plenty of young individuals that have been strong advocates for all sorts of different communities, and it doesn't necessarily take a lawyer or someone with legislative experience to be a good rep for their district. Jim was a great rep, but I have a long family history in public service. My uncle was a state senator. My mother served in the legislature. I know how it works up there, and I have a great team and experience to work on getting the necessary funds for this district.
Let me ask you a follow-up question. Be specific. How are you going to bring home the bacon for this district?
You go to the legislature. You work with the other 159 reps that you'll be serving with. You work with the Speaker of the House and the Senate and the Governor, and you fight for the funds that are in the annual budget.
Okay, same question for you, Sean Costello. Sure. How are you going to do it?
So I want to say,
show me the money.
First and foremost, I don't know if Jim Cantwell is listening right now, but I hope he is, as we say that combined, Patrick and I are not as old as him. I love.
And that you saying he's getting old, Sean?
Well, you said sound cut when we write this up.
Yeah, no, but we bring a good energy to the scene. And, you know, I have, in all facets of government, local, state, and federal, I have about 10 years combined experience in public service in those levels of government. And my full-time job for the last 4 years has been to support the efforts of a state representative to bring that bacon home to his district. And we have done that. It's not just about passing bills and voting on bills. It's about being an endless advocate for a budget item that's important to you, trying to get that funding through the budget process. It's also about trying to advocate that funding through a bond bill or through a program or a grant that might be available.
Be specific. Tell me how you're going to bring home the money from our Shilton situation.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely working with the rest of the legislature to make sure they know what your priorities are, to make sure that your priorities are included in a budget. You have to hold that political leverage of you do have a vote. And your vote has to be contingent on, well, I have things that we need to bring back to this district, too. You know, we want to make sure that we're voting for the right ideas. Mm-hmm. But in a budget cycle, you have to be prepared to fight for the funding that you need. You have to be prepared to use facts as to why you need it. And you have to know how the system works. And that's what I've done for the last 4 years. And we've done it with great success.
Okay, let's go over down to Charles Mathewson. Question for the candidates.
Let's go back to the beach. You're both candidates. You want to please people. If I ask you what would cause you to support retreat, that is giving up houses that have been destroyed by storms more than once, you're going to say, no, we're never going to retreat. But at what point do you think you should draw the line and say, we've replaced your house with flood insurance 3 times now, welcome to Worcester? Patrick.
Welcome to Worcester. Well, I hope we aren't moving any residents out of Marshfield and Scituate and displacing them to Worcester. But, you know, climate change is something that is a realistic issue, that it is happening. Sea levels are rising. And that's why it's so important for representatives to take a look at some of the comprehensive data that and the studies that have been done to see what that rising sea level, the impact that that can have on this district. But there are plenty of other places around the world and in this country where there are communities that live below the sea level. So it's important for state legislators to fight for that funds to protect the communities that we have here and make sure that people continue to live in the communities that they grew up in.
Where we're speaking now, we have estuary to the south, estuary to the north. If you look on Google Earth, Marshfield Hills would be a safe place to live, but downtown Marshfield, I'm not so sure in 15 years. Sean, how do you respond to that?
Well, you know what? I live in Wrexham, so I certainly hope I can still live in that area.
I hope so too, Sean.
Yeah, no kidding. I agree that climate change is absolutely a factor here that needs to be addressed, but there's certainly federal elements here too that a state representative doesn't have direct control over, though I'm sure we would be fighting as hard as we can to express the needs of our community. But it's more so an issue of finding new innovative ideas to combat that. And we'll go back to Joe Rossi again. He's got a great idea, and I've pledged to file it as a bill. And I know a pilot program or a feasibility study was put in place very recently that will be conducted over the next few years to take a look at something like the Dam and Seawall Fund that I referenced earlier that Jim Cantwell was so key in implementing. That would give low-interest loans or grants to homes to in an area of repeated loss and allow them to be lifted up and put on stilts. So that's something that we should look at. We need to be looking at new and innovative ways to stop that issue.
Okay. Kevin,
some of those grants are available on the federal level now.
Yes, absolutely. But it's certainly easier if you're competing for them at the state level.
Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates.
I want to go back to what Christine James was asking in regards to you're both young. Mm-hmm. You look at the other day somebody asked me in regards to who would you look to as a leader on the South Shore if you wanted them to take a bill and push it. Not somebody who go, oh, I'll co-sponsor that. Mm-hmm. Not somebody who's going to be a shadow, but somebody who's going to cast that shadow. And I think the listeners will be able to kind of figure out by your answer to this. And if you will, kind of give us a political figure, past or present, that you share their values that you have in common with that person, if you will. Let's start with you.
Sure. Well, I think the obvious answer, it might be a little too obvious.
But, don't say Jim Cantwell.
Well, the answer for me would certainly be Jim Cantwell. Okay. I've known the man for over 10 years now. I volunteered on his first campaign for state rep. I've learned so much from him. I've seen the way he does it, mm-hmm. and I've watched him very closely. And the other, of course, would be my boss, Representative Ayers from
Former
Quincy.
Former boss.
As a representative, I still affectionately refer to him. Would be Representative Ayers from Quincy, who's been a rep for a little while now and has been very successful as well. So those are two people that I look up to, certainly a whole host of people at the State House now who have been very successful. You look at Denise Garlick, representative from Needham and Natick, who recently passed a new opiate bill that she's been pushing for years. I've worked very closely with her. So there's a whole host of people, but those two, Jim and Bruce, certainly stand out to me.
Same question, Patrick.
Yeah, so obviously, Jim Cantwell as well. He's been such a strong advocate, and his knowledge of this district for Marshfield and Scituate is something that is probably unmatched with any other political leader that lives in the district or throughout the state. For his knowledge of Marshfield and Scituate is unmatched. I have some great relationships with some other state legislators, Representative John Rogers from Norwood, Representative DeZoglio, and there are 24 open state representative seats that are available for the Massachusetts State Legislature right now. So I think it's really important to not only work with the people that have been there before, but to form friendships and partnerships with the other incoming reps and look to bring a new vision and new leadership to Beacon Hill.
If I could just really add on really quick, I'm sure I'm speaking for both of us when I say you're absolutely right, is that there are this many open seats, and while we look to certain people to serve as an example, we bring a new level of energy here, and a young leader can bring a new level of energy to push.
I just want to make sure that you're not, with so many Democratic numbers, that you're not just going to blend into you know, the volume of Democrats and just be in lockstep with everybody else, but you're going to be somebody who's going to have a voice like a Jim Cantwell.
Well, Representative Ayers, I will say, was rated somewhat recently as, I believe, the second or third most moderate member of the House, so he's certainly not somebody who's in lockstep.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, question for the candidates.
My favorite question for potential freshman reps.
Here we go.
Who you call a freshman?
What committee assignments would you like? Patrick.
Sean.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No worries. I have worked extensively on a number of committees through my time with Representative Ayers. He served on the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee. He served on the Elder Affairs Committee, the Export Development Committee, and he's actually the vice chairman of the Tourism, Arts, and Cultural Development Committee. Those are all issues I've been familiar with, but the issues that I think affect Marshfield and Scituate are the ones that would inform the committees I'd hope to sit on, which would be mental health and substance abuse policy. I'd want to sit on environment, natural resources, and agriculture, and I would want to sit on education.
Same question.
As Christine had mentioned before, getting funding for this district and their infrastructure projects is super important. So I'd like to, you know, obviously not be the chairman as a freshman, but I'd love to sit in on some of the Ways and Means talks to be that strong advocate that has access to the money.
Okay, thank you.
Any follow-up questions? Let's change the topic here. Let's go to illegal immigrants in Massachusetts. What type of services should they qualify for, if any, or all? Driver's licenses, housing vouchers, reduced tuition at state colleges and universities. Patrick.
Can you repeat that question?
Illegal immigrants here in Massachusetts, what types of services do you think they should qualify for? Any or all of these? Driver's licenses, housing vouchers, reduced tuition at state colleges and universities.
So I think the thing that makes us unique as Americans, and everyone in this room, unless they're a Native American, is that we are all immigrants. And what makes America so special is that access to the American dream. And I believe that that's why we, as a product of immigrants, the reason our forefathers came here. But there is a legal way to obtain citizenship in the United States, and our forefathers obtained legal citizenship here. And I would encourage that all illegal immigrants, follow in footsteps of our forefathers, obtain their citizenship, and have access to the services that we have here in the United States as Americans.
Okay, so what do you illegals, yes or no for any of those three things? Driver's license, housing voucher, reduced tuition.
As I said before, they should become citizens of the United States they have access to.
Just wanted to be clear on that. Okay, same question, Sean.
Sure. Well, I think federally our immigration system is in a phase where it's broken, and it's so incredibly difficult for somebody to come here through that process. We are a nation of laws. And if a law needs to change with immigration, it should be done at the federal level. Those services that you mentioned there, none of them, in my opinion, should be given to somebody without citizenship status with preferential treatment over somebody who is a United States citizen. But you know what? At the same time, there are certain things that all people in the United States and in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts are entitled to. Public education is a perfect example. Through my time on the school committee, we've increased the positions for the English Language Learners Program. Back when we started on the school committee, there was about 13 students there. It's now over 40, and that's because we're devoting more resources to it and making sure that that population is served.
Okay, just so we're clear, those three things I said, driver's license, housing voucher, reduced tuition. Mm-hmm. If you're an illegal immigrant, yes or no?
I can give you a firm commitment saying no on the housing vouchers and the reduced tuition. I have to look into the driver's license issue a little more. I do think there is some merit to saying that people should have some form of identification, but that's up for debate.
Okay. Kevin Tachi, let's go to you for your next question for our candidates. Just a reminder, you're listening to a political forum here on WATD. It's for the 4th Plymouth District. That's all of Marshfield and every precinct in Scituate, except one. We've got the two Democrats in here, Sean Costello and Patrick Kearney.
The opioid epidemic still remains one of the state's top issues. Nobody can deny that. give your opinion. What needs to be done? Where we stand right now, a lot of work has been done by the current administration mm-hmm. and the folks in the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. But what needs to be done to further increase education and treatment on this matter? Mm-hmm. We'll go with you, Sean.
Well, you said my favorite word when it comes to solving that opioid crisis, which is education. And we are losing a generation to what is quite possibly and quite probably the worst public health crisis of our lifetime. So many people are dying because of this, and something needs to change. And we have devoted, as you said, significant funding to treatment in the last few years as this has become more and more prevalent. But at the same time, we need to find new and innovative ways to invest in prevention. And I'm somebody who believes that almost every issue that we face can be solved with a robust public education. We need to ensure that there is a comprehensive, sensitive elementary health curriculum in every district in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And Scituate actually has a very comprehensive program and should be a model for many other towns and cities across the state. But the big roadblock is funding. And I know we keep coming back to that, but that is a big thing that a rep needs to do. We need to fight for funding for those prevention efforts in our public schools.
And how young would you go as far as education goes? Could be a number or give me a grade?
Fifth grade. There should be an elementary.
Same question, Patrick.
So the ongoing opioid crisis is something that I have heard from is probably the number one issue when I've been talking to people on the doors here in the district. And when I was at the ribbon cutting of the Scituate Peer Recovery Center a few days ago, I was made aware of the list of born addicted babies that are waiting for accessibility to bed space and treatment facilities, individuals that are being born already addicted to drugs. And so I think that the opioid crisis needs, as Sean said, a comprehensive plan. I don't think it's one solution. I would, I support what the Attorney General, Mara Healey, and what the governor are trying to do at the state level. I think as state reps, we need to be making sure that it also gets addressed at the local level, fighting for funding for centers like that, and making sure that there's education in our classrooms and that we're going after some of the pharmaceutical companies that are pushing these drugs.
Same question I asked him. How young, give me a grade or an age that you feel we should start educating about drug addiction and drugs.
I think that we should start young, I'd say probably third grade, to talk about the dangers of drugs and possibly some of that more comprehensive education as you get into middle school.
Yeah.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates.
Okay, Green Harbor, Brent Rock are in this district, and they were at one point the poster child for white flight from Boston and Reagan Democrats. What kind of Democrat are you? Are you a Bernie Sanders Democrat, a Reagan Democrat, something in between? How would you describe yourself, Sean?
Sean or Pat?
Sean.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
You pointed at me.
For those listening on the radio, he is looking at Patrick and saying me, which is understandable. We're both very good-looking men.
That's true.
Very handsome. Yes.
Thank you so much.
I concur.
We appreciate that. Thank you. I think we've got three votes there, Pat. That's a good question, and I'll say that I'm my own kind of Democrat. I'm certainly more of a moderate thinker and somebody who prides himself on being a consensus builder and somebody who can listen to both sides of an argument before making an informed decision. And I have a proven record of doing so through my 4 years on the school committee here in Marshfield. Very proud to work with a number of great school committee members. I'll single out Rich Greer, who is the vice chair of the committee, and actually also lives across the street from me.
And fellow Mass Maritime grad.
That he is. And he's a great guy, and Rich and I are on a lot of the same subcommittees together. We could not be more different politically, and a lot of the time along the way we disagree, but we always agree on the end result because we know how to come together and find common solutions, and that's the kind of leadership that I bring to Beacon Hill.
Are you more of a spender? How are you on social issues, conservative or liberal?
Social issues, I'm definitely pretty left, and I'm proud of that. But when it comes to fiscal issues, I'd say I'm practical. I like to make sure that we're You know, looking at all our options, and again, for the last 4 years on the school committee, I've been responsible for being a steward of our $48 million education budget, especially as the chair. So, and we've done a good job with that. We've always had a lesser increase than the statewide average by far. Just this past year, we only increased our budget 2.2%. So I'm pretty practical when it comes to fiscal issues.
Okay, Patrick. Same
yes.
Question.
So I'd consider myself a Patrick Kearney Democrat. I am fiscally responsible. I think it's necessary to weigh out the necessity of spending money on necessary government service, but also respecting the taxpayer. Liberally, I'm pretty social. I'm pretty liberal.
You're also a social guy.
I'm social. But I would say that. I might be a little more moderate than Sean, if you're willing to give, some of the same stuff to illegal immigrants that you are to American citizens. I would say I'm a little more conservative than him.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I just need to clarify that the only thing I said there was that we'd look into a form of identification. Didn't commit one way or another, but we were certainly in lockstep on that.
How come nobody will admit that they're a tax and spend Democrat anymore? It's Massachusetts. Come on.
Well, the best thing about Massachusetts is that we have a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature that often find the middle ground. We should be really proud of that here.
Oh, okay. All right, let me ask you another question. What will you do for small business in the district? Be specific, Sean.
Sure. So, for the last 4 years, as I've said, I've worked for a gentleman at the State House who's been the vice chairman of the Tourism Committee, and I've learned a whole lot about that industry. And, just as a specific issue, is that tourism is actually the number three industry in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, behind only healthcare and education. For every dollar spent on tourism marketing, $5 cycles through the economy. It's an economic driver. We have a lot to offer here in Marshfield and Scituate, and I'm not saying we need to flood our shores with tourists from all across the state and the country, but at the same time, we're a beautiful coastline, and we need to make sure that our transportation infrastructure is kept up with, to ensure that people from other towns in the area are coming to shop here, they're coming to spend some time here. We're a beautiful community, and we need to make sure that we're marketing that.
Okay. Patrick, what do you think? Small business, what are you going to do for them in this district?
So I think that small business is the economic engine of Marshfield and Scituate, and as someone that works in small business here in the district in Marshfield and Scituate, running some charter fishing boats, I think that it's really important to encourage all people to, take advantage of everything that we offer here in Massachusetts, and for them to pursue their dreams in whatever small business they want. We have some of the highest LLC fees to start your own business in the country. I think that we'd like to see those lowered so that people can pursue their dreams. The fishing regulations that are putting an unduly burden on this community is crushing our local business, because when we can't fish, we're not spending money on fuel, bait. There aren't people coming into the district and staying at the Fairview and spending money at Haddad's and the Venus afterwards. So I'd like to be a strong advocate for the fishing community, because the economic engine that provides in all sorts of other businesses will bring all sorts of money to the district.
I'm going to ask you both a quick follow-up question. Mm-hmm. 5 years, you're talking about the top businesses in the state. You think marijuana is going to be in the top three, Patrick?
I don't think in the next 5 years it could be with what the Attorney General is doing with the zoning for certain marijuana shops. I think that has put has significantly slowed down the progress with marijuana. So in the next 5 years, it could be, but I don't think so.
Okay, what do you think about that?
No,
do you think it'll be in the top three?
It will not be in the top three, and projected revenue definitely doesn't put it close to the top three. Especially with the state continuing to invest in our life sciences corridor and in making sure that we're investing in healthcare, and of course we've got some of the finest institutions of higher learning in the entire country here, so those are the top two, and then the number three, which I said was tourism. Every year, the number of people who are visiting Massachusetts increases. Just alone last year, there were over 20 million visitors to Faneuil Hall, and those numbers continue to grow every year. The number one tourist destination in the state is Faneuil Hall. Number two, by the way, is the Cape Cod shoreline. Marshfield and Scituate, Marshfield especially, though, being right there on the highway, is the gateway to Cape Cod, and we could benefit from that as well.
Okay. It would be Marshfield and Scituate if we were able to keep Cod in you know, take people out and charter fishing, but right now we can't. So.
At least a complimentary keychain. All right, let's go to you, Kevin Tachi. Question for the candidates.
Let's talk education. You know, anytime that I've covered a town meeting, who doesn't love town meeting?
It's the best.
It's the best. But when there's a threat that is that, you know, there isn't going to be enough funding for a school budget. Little Johnny is going to be in a class that's going to be 40 plus. Uh-oh, they're going to cut a gym teacher. What will we do? People will flock to town meeting.
Does anybody name their child Johnny anymore?
Johnny and Sally. Yeah, I know.
No,
I'm old,
like,
school.
No, it's like Michaela or Justin. Come on.
On the Irish Riviera, I'm sure there's plenty of Johnnies around.
Yeah. But the idea here is while some communities are doing okay with the state's funding formula when it comes to education, some aren't. Give me your thoughts in regards to helping communities, not only just in your district, but around the state, when it comes to having enough funding, when it comes to class sizes, teachers, and programs, and not cutting any of those. We'll start with you, Sean.
Sure. Well,
I pointed right at you.
I could talk about this all day. This has been my reality for the last going on 4 years as a member of the school committee here. You know, we are one of those communities you referred to that is not getting our fair share of education funding, and that's because the formula is broken for towns like Marshfield and Scituate. I can tell you my reality has been dealing with a budget where 85% of our funding comes from the town and 15% comes from the state, whereas just 13, 14 years ago, we were getting 60% from the town and 40% from the state, and that's back when the formula shifted. So we are getting the hose on that one, and we need to have somebody up there on Beacon Hill advocating for us there. It's a very similar situation in Scituate. And, you know, I've been a leader in education here in Marshfield for a number of years and took a lead statewide in trying to preserve some funding with my opposition to Question 2 in 2016.
Charter schools.
Which drains about $250,000 plus from Marshfield Public Schools every year. And that's why we were one of the first committees to write a resolution against it, which I sponsored. And I did some statewide media availability for it and debated the woman pushing the issue as the leader statewide. I'm very proud of my involvement in defeating that question, but we have to do
didn't
so much more.
Didn't realize it
work.
Was unread there. Sorry.
Thanks for the extra time.
Same question.
You get 5 extra seconds.
And as Sean had said, but it is education is the most important. It's the building block for the next generation be successful. And I look forward to working with fellow Navy Reserve Officer Mike Rush in the Senate, looking at Senate Bill 308, looking at the recommendations of the Foundation Budget Review Commission to look at revamping the Chapter 70 funding for education. You know, I give the Marshfield and Scituate school committees a lot of credit. We have great schools where our student teacher ratio is impressive. It's of quality, and our test scores are great. So I think that we need to be investing not only in our K-12 education, but making sure that public higher education is affordable as well for our graduates.
Super duper quick question. Some of the times that we've had conversations with candidates, one of the things that they will bring up is unfunded mandates. What are unfunded mandates like for this district? Sean?
Well, the unfunded mandates are continually added to every year. And for those listening who don't know, an unfunded mandate is a law passed down by the state, a regulation that must be met, but that comes with no funding. And we deal with those all the time. In fact, under my leadership on the school committee, we created a commission, headed by Rich Greer, the vice chair, to look at unfunded mandates and put together a whole list of just how much we're losing out on and what we need from the state. We've been in contact with the state auditor's office on that, too. So we're definitely taking a proactive look at unfunded mandates. But with my experience on the school committee as a state rep, I'll be pushing hard to make sure that we're providing much more funding than we have been to schools like Marshfield and Scituate who need that funding.
Not creating a mandate, right?
Exactly.
Same question.
Yeah, so the unfunded mandates, as you know, we were talking about earlier, is, I think, a little bit of a disconnect between the legislature and their people, which is why when I'm door knocking and talking about the issues with people, it's important to hear all of their concerns. And as a state rep, a state senator, as anyone in state or federal government, it's important and vital that we are not pushing mandates that people don't have any funds to support.
Okay, you're listening to 95.9 FM, WATD in Marshfield, the South Shore's news and information leader. And this is a WATD political forum. The race is for the 4th Plymouth District. This is the primary race. We've got the two Democrats in here, Sean Costello and Patrick Kearney. Let's go now to Charles Mathewson. Question for the candidates.
If it's not a diverse district, it's at least a varied district. lots of strange characters from north to south. How would you serve them in constituent services, Sean?
Sure. Well, I've seen that firsthand, knocking on the thousands of doors that I've been able to knock on, is that everybody is different. Everybody has a different experience, and people are going through different things. And we've talked to a whole lot of residents about what they are going through. And even though people may look the same and their names may sound similar, as everybody down here is Irish in the Irish Riviera, you know, everybody's facing something different. And for the last 4 years, my job was to respond to constituent services and to work with agencies to make sure that people in our district were getting the services that they needed and that they were entitled to. You know, whether it be housing is always a big one. Mass health issues were always big. Even early childhood care was always something we heard about. Surprisingly, we hear a lot about DCR-owned land, people who live in those areas near DCR land and feel it needs to be maintained. So there's a whole host of things that comes along with constituent services, but that's what I've done for the last 4 years as one of the pillars of my job.
Okay.
Patrick.
Same question. Patrick?
Yeah, as your next state rep, I feel as though that I'm the best qualified candidate to respond to people. I give out my cell phone number on every handwritten note that I send to people after I knock on their door. People feel very comfortable reaching out to me and talking with them throughout the district about all the issues that we're facing. Some of them are very consistent. Some of them are very specific to individuals. But every issue is important, and I look forward to fighting to combat the opioid crisis, to make sure that there's funding for education, to protect our coastline, to fight for our fishing industry and small business and organized labor, and also tending to small issues on an individual basis as well.
Okay. I'm going to go to our lightning round now. This is where the answers are either yes or no or one or two sentences tops. So I'm going to start with this because it was my turn. What do you think? And I'm in control of the big mic. What do you think the state sales tax should be, Sean?
Well, right now it's at about where it is, 6.25%, and that's, you know, I'm not in favor of raising that, certainly.
Okay. Where do you think the state sales tax should be, Patrick?
What it is right now, I can't, I'd love to see it lowered, but we can't take that hit to the budget.
Okay.
It's about what you do with the revenue.
Okay. Kevin Tachi.
I'm disappointed you didn't go with the classic standard.
Oh, I'm going to go with that
time.
Eventually.
Oh, there's still time.
There's still time.
Are you for or against reinstating the death penalty if a suspect is found guilty for taking the life of a police officer?
Is that a yes or no?
That's a yes or
okay,
no.
Okay, let's start with Patrick. Yes or no?
I'm against the death penalty.
Okay. Sean?
I'm also against the death penalty. I think it's...
okay, it's just, you know, a yes or
yes
no question.
Yes or no is a little difficult on that one. I'd encourage people
okay.
to reach out to
Charles
us.
I'm just
Mathewson.
Following directions.
Charles Mathewson.
I just learned this morning the latest fashion trend is makeup for men. I mean straight heterosexual men. In a few words...
Skyliner?
How is this a yes or no question?
In a few words, how do you feel about that? Would you consider eyeliner or leave it to someone else?
Guyliner, yikes. I would support anyone that wants to use it. I think that... if I have to use it, or Sean has to use it at our age, we get some serious problems.
Okay, Sean?
Yeah, be yourself, man. I think, you know, if we do what you want to do, it doesn't affect me. So go right ahead. I think, personally, I'm probably too pale for eyeliner.
That'd okay. Be,
yeah, and just as a radio note, neither of you guys need it.
Okay,
so,
thank
so
you.
Thanks.
Okay. And just as a radio note, that's the strangest question you've ever asked on one of these forums.
I've asked some strange questions.
Yeah, you have.
I've listened to ATV for years. That's the weirdest thing I've
it
ever
is. It's not even like
right
the darkest.
Yes or no,
all right.
That's for sure.
All right, let's go to my favorite. For or against Plymouth County government? Let's start with you, Sean Costello. Two sentences. For or against Plymouth County government?
Absolutely.
Stay or leave?
Absolutely for it. Keep Plymouth County government. We have some great county officials here, and there's economic information from across the country that shows that regionalized government like that is a good thing, and you can look
at
Plymouth
County. It's awful long, two sentences.
It's still the same sentence.
Yeah, it's a run-on sentence.
Let me help you out, John.
Okay.
I'm for it.
Okay.
You can look at Plymouth County's program on
You're
Lyme
done.
Diseases.
You're done.
Example.
All right.
I'm for it.
Okay. Kevin.
Should there be a term limit for the Speaker of the House, yes or no?
Okay, let's start with you, Patrick.
Be careful.
I think that that's something that the
yes
159
no.
reps
yes
will have
no.
to decide on.
Yes or
on.
No. Okay. Yes or no, Sean?
The current House rules say that there is no term
These
limit.
These guys
and
can't
that's
do it. It's yes
be.
Or no. Okay. Charles Matthews, another quick
We've
question.
We've got a lot to say.
Okay. Charles?
What podcasts do you listen to, Sean?
Podcasts I don't really listen to, but I'll tell you that I listen to a lot of drive time radio when I'm going around. Nothing.
All right, no same podcast. Question.
I only listen to 95.9.
Oh, geez.
Very good answer.
God, I love those kind of answers. Okay, one more quick one.
One word that best describes you. One word.
Let's start with Sean. One word. One.
Dedicated.
Okay, one word, Patrick.
Courage.
Okay. There we go. We got the one-word answers. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to your final statements now because we just have a few minutes left. We're going to switch the order, so we're going to go with Patrick first and then go to Sean. Your final statement, you want to keep that to 1 minute.
Thank you again for the opportunity to be here this evening and for the opportunity to speak with the people of our district about the upcoming Democratic primary election for state rep. As I noted earlier this evening, I understand this community, and I am part of the fabric of this community. My family and I lived here. I continue to live here. I work here, and I serve here. And I believe that the knowledge and understanding of our district is one of the things that will help me best represent this district. But as I also stated, I believe that if you're going to represent the people, then you need to know the people, and you need to know what's important to them and all of their families. And that's why I've made it a point to go campaigning door-to-door throughout our district. I've knocked on so many doors and in our communities, and I continue to do so all the way up to the primary election. So I hope to earn your support and your vote in the upcoming Democratic primary. It's Tuesday, September 4th. If you have any further questions, we're at electpatrickkearney.com, and I would love the privilege and the honor to serve as your next state representative. Thank you
very much. That was Patrick Kearney, final statement. Let's go to you, Sean Costello.
Well, thank you all so much. I want to thank you, too, Pat, for a great, robust discussion and for what I'm sure will continue to be a positive campaign. I look forward to being with you on the trail some more. I think above all else, what's abundantly clear, I certainly hope, is that I've expressed that I have the experience necessary to serve us well at the State House with my understanding of the way things work and with my energy and with the passion I have for this district. My friend Jim Cantwell has accomplished so much, and we're better for his leadership, but there's still so much more to do, whether it be with the opioid crisis, with our crumbling coastal infrastructure, environmental issues, or with fighting for education. I'm proud of my accomplishments and my professional career at the State House, and I hope to use my knowledge and experience to benefit Marshfield and Scituate. I'm equally proud of my accomplishments here in Marshfield and hope it illustrates my commitment to bettering the community. I'm proud to have the backing of former State Rep Phil Johnston and many others. But above all else, I'm so proud to have called this district my home for my entire life and to come from a working Marshfield family. I would be exceedingly proud to represent those values and fight for our needs as state representative.
Thank you very much, Sean Costello. You've been listening to a WATD political forum. The Democrats that are candidates for the 4th Plymouth District, all of Marshfield and all of Scituate except one precinct. Joining me here is Kevin Tachi, host of Monday Night Talk, along with Charles Mathewson. Timing, thank you by Sandy Rollick and, of course, Marshfield Community Television. This will all be up on our website tomorrow, and you'll hear selected cuts during our morning drive news tomorrow. And, of course, stay tuned on primary. Night. We'll be out there in the field, a whole political show bringing you every bit of information. Remember, get out there. Primary day is September 4th. It's Tuesday. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James right here on 95.9 WATD.